To review before we sit down, I'd like to review from Christ as Mystery of God Revealed. This will be number 15 in our reviews, and we'll be reviewing Christ as Mystery of God number 91, which we call God Life in You, and from number 100, Completely, Totally Dead, and from number 102, You Cannot Think Your Own Thoughts and Be Right. And so to do that, we're going to begin this morning with Galatians chapter 1, reading verses 15 and verse 16. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his Son, notice, in me, not to me, in me, that I might preach among him, preach him among the Gentiles, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. And then in verse 24 from the same chapter, Paul said, and they glorified God in me. Not only did he reveal his Son in him, but when the people saw that revelation, that manifestation of Christ in the man Paul, they glorified God, the God that was in Paul. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we are so thankful, Lord, to recognize that we are a family and that your Holy Spirit is nothing other than your God life, and that God life was given to the Son and is given to sons. And so, Lord, knowing that we were in you before the foundations of the world and we were ordained to be conformed to the image of the firstborn Son, in order to be conformed to his image, we must have his spirit. We must have his mind. And so, Father, we thank you for the mind of Christ that you have given to us through the baptism of the Holy Ghost, through the opening of your word to us, the revealing of your word to us. And, Father, we ask that you'd help us, Lord, to be conformed to that image. May we become manifested sons, manifested just like your Son Jesus, because knowing that even though he was a son, yet learned he obedience to the things, by the things which he suffered. It's all about obedience. Obedience is greater than sacrifice. And so, Father, we ask you to help us to be obedient to your Holy Spirit who lays within us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. And the thing about his Holy Spirit, he's a holy God, right? Holy God, Holy Spirit. Then why do many people who claim to have the Holy Spirit don't live a holy life? You see, if you have the Holy Spirit, you'll have a holy life. Like Brother Brown said, if Dillinger's living in you, you're going to rob banks and have guns. If his spirit is in you, you're going to compose music. If the spirit of mechanics in you, you'll be able to work on cars and things like that. Now notice Paul says, God revealed his Son in me. Then he said, and what they saw was God glorified in me, he says. Now, when we look at this glorified, it comes from the Greek word doxazo. We're looking at the doxa, which the word doxa means the opinions, values, and judgments of God. Magnified, the zo, magnified in the vessel. The last part of the word doxa, zo, or zoe, it means life. So when they saw the life that Paul was living in the flesh, they saw God expressed through his flesh. We also have the same promise that the life of God, his doxa, which is his opinions, his values, and his judgment, are to be in the saints at the time of the appearing or the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 10. He says, when he shall come to be glorified, en doxazo, glorified in his saints, and to be admired in all of them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Paul is saying, look, there's coming a time when the church, the believers, will actually believe my testimony. Amen. And that's going to be at this time of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, this word glorified was taken from the word endoxazo, or endoxazos, which the word and means in. And of course, we know that doxa is the opinion, values, and judgments. And the word zoe meaning life expressed. So we're looking at the opinions, the values, and the judgments of God predestinated to not only be manifested in our life, but to be magnified in our zoe, in our life, at the time that Paul speaks of here. And we see the time that this is to take place according to verse 7. He says, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus Christ shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels." And we saw God come down, or those angels come down in 1963 in the form of that cloud, forming the very head, the very shape of the head of Christ, showing that supreme deity, God himself, has come down with a shout. 1 Thessalonians 1:13-16. Now, as we continue with what Brother Branham is saying here, in Christ the mystery of God revealed, paragraph 195, he said, "Now Christ, the works that I do shall you do also." See, the same God, see, the same works that I do, you do also. More than this, for I go to my Father. The church will be a little longer in life, see, vindicating his promised word as God did his promises in Christ's body. So is Christ doing his same works in Christ's body, the church. In other words, as God manifested himself, expressed himself to the world through the body of his son Jesus, then the same God, the same life, the same God life will express itself at the end time in the capstone ministry at the end time through the body of his elect bride. All right? So is Christ doing his same works in Christ's body, the church. See? Now, making his mystery known to the bride tree here in the last days, bringing forth the fruits that was in the tree at the beginning. Now notice this, as God did in Christ, so Christ is doing in this body, which is his church. All right, that was Jesus' prayer in John 17:11. He said, "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I am come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those who thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one." Now, how is God and Jesus one? God is the Word, and the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. Amen? Now, how is Jesus God? How is Jesus and God one? Not like your fingers one. That's what the United Pentecostals believe. God and Jesus are one like your fingers one. The Trinitarians try to make it three different persons, making up somehow a committee. The committee is called God. No. Jesus is praying to the Father. God doesn't pray. So the man Jesus was praying to God that God was in him. Right? He said, listen, there's many scriptures. Jesus said the Son can do nothing but what the Father shows him first. He said, my Father is in me. Now, notice he says, "And now I am no more in the world, but these in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those who thou hast given me, that they may be one as," that word "as" means in the same way, "even as we are one." So how was God and Jesus one? Because God is the Word and Jesus was the expression of the Word. And so we are to become the expression of that same Word in the way you live, the way you talk, the way you act. You see? And then let's skip forward to verse 20 to see how that we're made one with God in the very same way that Jesus and God were made one. Notice he says, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." Your words are very important, brother, sister. Now notice, "that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee. That they all may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me." Now notice, "and the glory," the doxa, "the opinions, the values, and the judgments which thou gavest to me, I have given to them. That they may be one even as we are one." God's opinions Jesus had. Jesus said, the things that I preach, the Father commanded me what to say. The values, the way he lived, the way he expressed his life. The things that were valuable to him were valuable to God. That's why in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, "Father, not my will." My will, take this cup from me. I pray that you take this cup from me, but not my will. What's valuable to me is your will. My meat is to do thy will. You see, Jesus' whole purpose for living was to express the will of his Father. Hallelujah. And that is what divine truth, that is what the word revelation means. It means manifestation of divine will and divine truth. Jesus Christ was the revelation of God. Amen? He was a manifestation of the presence of God in a man, Jesus. Paul said, all the fullness of the Godhead body dwelt in him. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one as we are one. Hallelujah. How do we become one with God? Having his same values. What he holds dear, we hold dear. Having God's opinions. What God's opinions are, those are our opinions. Having his judgments, his word, his sayings. Having those things ourselves. So you see, our oneness with God comes from the very same glory, the very same doxa, which is the very same opinions, values, and judgments that God gave to his Son, and he expressed them. So the Son gives to us, and we express them the same as he expressed them, and that makes us one with God in the same way that Jesus and God were one. That's why Brother Branham, so many people thought he was Jesus Christ, because his actions, his words, his thoughts, the way he talked to people, the way he treated people, everything was Jesus Christ expressed to us. That's why people thought he was God, but he wasn't God. He was a reflection of God. Amen. Like you were supposed to be a reflection of God. You're supposed to be a written epistle, read of all men. And that is why God himself will not be ashamed of us. Just as Jesus is not ashamed of us, because we have the same mind, the same values, the same opinions. Now from the token, Brother Bram said, and if the life of Jesus Christ lives in the person, they become identified with him. Remember we talked about that word identified, what it means? It means you actually become. You actually become it. It's Christ in you, not a church member, not a system, but a resurrected power. Didn't Paul say in Ephesians 4? He said that the purpose of the fivefold ministry is that we might grow up into him in all things. He didn't say grow up unto him, like Jesus, my buddy. He said grow up into him. In other words, become little messiahs. Little Jesuses walking around, because the whole host, the whole family in heaven is called Jesus, the family, not outsiders, not those outside the family. The whole family in heaven is called Jesus. God wants us to grow up into him, into to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son. The Holy Ghost is a token upon you, and your life says amen to every scripture. From Genesis to Revelation, every scripture. The promise is written in there, and you're not yourself no more, you are Christ. You don't think your own thoughts. You don't think your thoughts. Notice he says it twice for emphasis. He says, you say, I think. You have no thought coming. The life that was in Christ is in you. The mind that was in Christ is in you. The works that was in Christ is in you. And Christ himself is in you. You are dead, and your life is hid with Christ. Through Christ, sealed in there by the Holy Ghost, you're not your own. Now that's Colossians, what Paul, Brother Brown is referring to there. In Questions and Answers, Conduct, Order, and Doctrine, 1954, Brother Brown said, you've got to repent and die daily to live in Jesus Christ. So every day, you've got to die every day to live in Christ Jesus. Paul said, I am crucified. Not I was one time, 34 years ago, whatever it was between Jesus' death and Paul saying this. But he said, I am crucified. That's present tense. Like God says, I am that I am. I'm the self-existing. I am that I am. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I'm living. Yet it's not I that's living, but Christ. Christ is living in me. The anointed one, the anointing is living in me. And the life that I'm now living in this flesh, which Paul called the body of this death, he said, but and the life I'm now living in this flesh, he said, that's Jesus' life. And he's expressing it through me. Amen? And don't ever forget that to repent is to change your mind. See, Brother Brown said, you got to die daily. You got to repent and die daily. That means change your thinking daily from your own thoughts to his thoughts. You'll never make it with your own mind. You must have the mind of Christ. Jeremiah 4:14, he says, O Jerusalem, was thine heart wash thine heart from wickedness, that thou mayest be saved. How long shall thy vain thoughts lodge within thee? How many of us got vain thoughts? Well, we do. Honestly, we do. He says, how long are those vain thoughts going to be there? Purge yourself. You see, from surgery we would see Jesus. He says, so, if we ourselves then in our ministry and in our thoughts and in our life, if we abide as we are, we can do no good. We got to also die at the altar, or we'll live alone. We'll live to some denomination or some creed. We'll live to some organization. But if we die to ourselves, and the Holy Spirit will spread forth everything by our lips. We've got to die. We must realize that we've got to die in order to bring forth new life. So he says so much in this, if you want to see me, you must die, he says. Die to yourself and then you'll bring forth a new life. Too many people are baptized that haven't died. As I mentioned last week when we baptized Brother Robert. Yes. We must die to self. You don't bury a person who's still alive. You must die to be buried. Now, Proverbs 16:3 says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and what? And thy thoughts shall be established. And that is exactly what Paul taught in Colossians 3:3, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. So we must be willing to die to self in order for the life of Christ to take over our vessels. And nowhere during the past 2,000 years since the Apostle Paul do you hear language being spoken like this until William Branham came along. And he taught the very same things that Paul taught. Now, there were certain men through the ages, like Martin of Tours and Columba, who died to self, and the life of Jesus Christ manifested in them. But what we see here is John 14:12, the things that I do shall you do also. And we didn't see much of that displayed throughout the church ages, except one here and one there, until William Branham came along and told us that there will be a complete manifestation of this life in the bride in this hour before we get out of here. And it will not be for just one person alone, but the entire bride of Jesus Christ as a group reflecting the very life of the firstborn Son of God. In other words, everyone that goes in that rapture will be this way, or they won't go in the rapture. Now, William Branham was asked a question concerning John 14:12 in 1959, 628, questions and answers. And his answer was very clearly stated. Now, Brother Branham, can any man do the works of Christ unless he is Christ? No. Do you mean, dear person, now let me read that again. Can any man do the works of Christ unless he was Christ? Well, yeah, that's what it is. Unless he was Christ? Sure. Let's take St. John, just a minute, St. John, the 14th chapter, and I want you to look at this now. If you catch it right quick, St. John 14:12, I believe it is. We'll get it right quick and look what Jesus said about it, all right? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he, now Brother Ram's going to define who he is. Whoever it is. He, whoever it is, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Any man. The man himself can't be Christ, but the works of Christ will follow every believer. See? He'll do the works of Christ in any man. He that believeth in me, the works that I do, he shall do. Not I shall do, he shall do. He shall not I. In other words, it's not just me, William Branham. It's every man. But he believes in me, and he has confessed his faith in me. And here's the important thing. And he has died out to himself, and my spirit dwells in him. And he becomes a part of me. How can you be... unless you have the Spirit of God in you, you're not a part of the body of Christ. But when you have the Spirit of God, you become part of the body of Christ. Amen? He says... Not I shall do, he shall do, not I, but he that believes in me and has confessed his faith in me and died out to himself, and my spirit dwells in him and he becomes a part of me. Now, that don't make him Christ. It makes him a part of Christ with the rest of the church, all right? He is not Christ because that would be Antichrist, you see. He would be taking away from Christ, but he can do the works of Christ, any believer, all right? Listen, I've seen little children 3 years old pray for situations and God brings about that situation. Amen? And again, the same question was asked in Questions and Answers, Concord and Doctrine, 1964. And will every true believer do the works that Jesus said, as stated in St. John 14:12? Well, not exactly, no. Heal the sick, cast out devils, raise the dead. I don't think that's St. John 14, but it's all right. It's Mark 16. Or is this only to be Elijah? Must the believer do all of that? That really believe, and if he really is a believer, will he raise the dead and do great miracles? Well, now, that is among the believers, see? Every man doesn't have those gifts, and that don't mean that just one person will do it. There'll be groups of people. Just as example, a family gets together, and you have an injury or something in the family, and as a family you pray. And God raises that person up or heals that person. You don't know if it's your prayer, but the group you got together, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in their midst. You understand? Amen. And then sometimes you see it in particular ministries, etc. Again, from a sermon of his that we've been studying for the last 2 years, Christ is the Mystery of God Revealed, Brother Branham vindicated prophet of God. He said, they said, we receive the Holy Ghost when we believed. But the Bible says, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? There's the difference. See, that's right. See, and they say, well, we're the Catholic Church. We started early. We did this. And the Methodist says, well, we're based upon the Bible. But Jesus said, the signs shall follow them that believe. Now, where is it at? See, right. The works that I do shall you do also. Every creature, every person that believes in him. Now, where is it at? That's his words. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words shall never fail. Now, where is it at? See, oh, it just shows what it is. It's a hybrid condition. Because the people have so hybrided with their thoughts and God's thoughts that God don't honor because they've got a vacillating mind. James himself said, how can a man that vacillates get anything from God? You got to have the mind of Christ. Now, notice again he uses the word every person, and William Branham mentions John 14:12, and then asks a question, where's it at? It's supposed to be in the church, so he says, where's it at? And what has prevented it from manifesting openly as he longed to see it in the church? Well, I tell you what, I believe it's the unbelief of the people concerning God's word and their lack of a consecrated life to the word of God. You live a consecrated life before God where all his thoughts become your thoughts. And I'm going to tell you what, you will see Christ manifested in your life. You'll see prayers answered. You'll see everything. Because the Bible tells us that if a man regards iniquity in his heart, God won't even hear his prayers. Iniquity is to do right and you don't do it. Amen? Again, William Branham speaks in John 14:12, using the word anybody, in response to the use of he, making it plural, not singular. In the same sermon, Christ the mystery God revealed, St. John 14:12, he said, he, that's anybody. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Well, that was for another age, you say. There you go. You got your picture wrong again. Notice his explanation for the word he is anybody. Now, the Apostle Paul said in Hebrews 2 and verse 11 to 13, he says, for both he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all of one. Well, what does the word of mean? It means out from. It's showing possession. We are all, the one who sanctifies, that's the Holy Ghost, and the ones who are sanctified by the Holy Ghost are all of the same source, and that's from God. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. People don't want to refer to Jesus as their eldest brother, but Paul said in Romans 8, verse 29, he said, we are ordained to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son in a vast family of brothers. He's our oldest brother. He's our example. He's our pattern to be a son. In Ephesians 3, verse 14 to 21, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he should grant you, according to the riches of his glory, his opinion, his values, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes all knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Notice, unto him be the glory in the church, the opinions in the church, the values in the church, a judgment in the church. Whose judgment? Whose values? Whose opinion? God's. Like Jesus said, the Son can do nothing but what he sees the Father do, that doeth the Son likewise. The Father worketh, and the Son worketh hitherto. He didn't have his own program, brother, sister, and neither does the true church of the living God have their own program. Amen? God has a purpose and plan. It's finding yourself in that plan. He's talking about us being filled with Christ so much until the fullness of God might come into this expression through his church again. Now, not the person of God, but the life of God fully expressed. From Christ is the mystery of God revealed, Brother Branham said. Now notice, God making himself known, not we're not supposed to make converts to Christianity by a government. What does that mean? It means people come into church and they say, well, you got to do this, and you got to do this, and you got to genuflect when you come in, and you got to, you know, do this, and you got to, all these programs. He said, no, we don't make, we're not supposed to convert people to Christianity by a government, but by the revelation of Christ in you. As in the same way that God was in Christ. As God was in Christ, Christ is in you. What God did in Christ, Christ does in you. What signs did God in Christ, Christ does in you. Oh, isn't that beautiful? Oh my, I like that. Jesus said, at that day, that's this day. At that day, when this revelation is made known, you will know that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, and I'm in you, and you in me. When the revelation is made manifest, at that day, you shall know that I and the Father are one. I'm in the Father's in me. Then when the revelation comes forth, then it's I in you and you in me. There you are. See the manifold, threefold? What for? To bring it back, we've got to be. And again, in the same sermon, Christ, the mystery of God, revealed, Brother Brown said, look, Christ in you makes him the center of the revelation of the life of the revelation. See? Then Brother Brown gets a little more definitive and he says, Christ's life in you makes him the center of the revelation. Christ in the Bible makes the Bible a complete revelation of Christ. Christ in you makes you the complete revelation of the whole thing. Now remember, the word revelation, according to Webster, it means divine, it means manifestation of divine will and divine truth. Let me say that again. Manifestation of divine will and divine truth. So, Christ's life in you makes him the center of the revelation, makes him the center of the manifestation. Christ in the Bible makes the Bible the complete manifestation of divine will and truth of Christ. Christ in you makes you the complete revelation, makes you the complete manifestation of divine will and manifestation of divine truth of the whole thing. See? See what God's trying to do? What is a new birth then? You say, well, Brother Branham, what is a new birth? It is the revelation. It is the manifestation of divine will and truth of Jesus Christ personally to you. See? Amen. See? Not, well, I joined a church, or I shook hands, or you done something different. You said a creed. You promised to live in by a code of rules. But Christ, the Bible, he is the word that was revealed to you. He was the word that was manifested truth and manifested will to you. And no matter what anybody says, what takes place, it's Christ. Pastor, priest, whatever it might be, is Christ in you. That is the revelation that the church was built upon. That is the manifestation of divine will and divine truth that the church is built upon. Now, the problem we have is throughout the seven church ages, men have substituted theology for revelation. They've taken theology instead of the very life of Christ living in the individual. And according to Webster's dictionary, the word revelation in theology is defined as a manifestation of divine will or truth. Notice it is not just knowing the divine will or truth as though it comes via a mental awareness, but it tells us that revelation is a manifestation of divine will or truth. But it is the literal manifesting of the divine will or truth in and to the individual. You understand that? Not only was it manifested to you, the divine will and truth, but it's manifested in you. Because you become an echo. Amen? The Apostle Paul tells us how that we received the revelation of Jesus Christ, how he received it, and it was not through some seminary or hearing some preacher. But he says, Ephesians 3:3, how that by revelation, that's manifestation of divine will and truth, he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Now the question then we must ask is, how did Paul come to the knowledge to know the mystery of Christ? Because he didn't learn it from Jesus Christ in the flesh. And he didn't learn it from the apostles themselves. It came via revelation, a manifestation of divine will and truth, through the pillar of fire, making known to Paul that the very life that lived and expressed itself in Jesus Christ is the same life that raised up Jesus from the dead, is the same God life that was in the burning bush and in the pillar of fire that talked to him out of that pillar of fire. And then the same revelation, that same manifestation of divine will and truth was manifested in and through Paul himself. Paul laid hands on the dead were raised. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. You understand? When Paul saw the same God life that he saw in that pillar of fire, and he studied that word for 3 years and died to himself, he said, I've got to die to Paul. When Paul died to himself, the life of Jesus Christ that came in him at the baptism of the Holy Ghost began to live out itself in Paul. And the same things Jesus did, the same things Jesus said, The same life that was Jesus lived, Paul began living. That way, the manifestation, you see it, and then the manifestation, you become it. Amen? Therefore, it is this manifestation that is so all important to us. Not what the teacher taught you, that is only a mental knowledge, but the expression of God life made known to you, and then you see it manifesting through you. From we see Jesus, Brother Anne said, then if his spirit is with us, He will act just exactly like he acted when he was here on earth. How many people, especially the Pentecostals, they say, I got the Holy Ghost. Praise God, I got the Holy Ghost. I spoke in tongues. I jump up and down. And they go out and they fornicate. They go out and commit adultery. They go out and pull business deals on one another. They lie, they cheat, they do everything else. You got the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost, and you do those things? I think what you got is the unholy ghost. Amen? Because it's not your spirit anymore, he says, it'll make you act the same way because it's not your spirit anymore. It's his spirit in you, Christ's spirit in you. The things that I do, he that believeth on me, St. John 14, 12, the works that I do shall you do also. See, we'll do the same works, think the same thoughts. Live the same type of life. If the Spirit of God is in you, it'll make you live like Christ, Christ-like. Then you become a written epistle, read of all men. Christ in you, reflecting his light out of you. As God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself and reflecting God from his own body. Now listen, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5. Second Corinthians 5. He said we are actually become ambassadors. We're ambassadors. Amen. From questions and answers. And Paul says, he says, you don't see Jesus in the flesh anymore. No. You see God in his word reflected through your flesh. You don't have to see the man with the nail-scarred hands. You will on the other side. But right now, how do I see Jesus? When I see your life. When your life is reflecting his life. Amen. From questions and answers, conduct, order, and doctrine, he says, so get Christ into your heart. That's real. Christ and the Holy Ghost, the same thing. Holy Spirit, Christ, means the anointed one. And the Holy Spirit is the anointing. And you are the ones that's been anointed, see? And it's Christ in you anointing you. See what I mean? Then you got the right thing. Then he can use you to do anything that he wants to use you for. See? The Holy Spirit is a being. It's God. God in you, the person, God, that's lit. Your whole entire being. You're changed. You're a new creature. Any little thing that's wrong, he'll tell you that's wrong. Then quit and don't do it. Remember the scripture says, if you be any otherwise minded, he'll reveal it to you. Then quit. Don't do it. Father, I didn't mean to do that. You forgive me. See? And that's the Holy Spirit. Now notice John 13:31. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified. And God is glorified in him. Glorified. En doxazo. In Zoe, in the life, doxa, the values, the opinions, and the judgment. Now is God glorified in him. And if God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself and shall straightway glorify him. In John 17:10, and all mine are thine and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. So the same life that was in Christ, that was in God, was poured into his Son. The same life that was poured in the Son is poured into the church. Now, from Christ is the mystery, Brother Branham said, how do you know? Because you're a church member? How many people get just that far? Well, I'm a church member, praise God. So what? Every Buddhist is a church. I mean, look, you got every denomination, whether they're Christian or whether they're Muslim, they're all church members or synagogue members or mosque members. He said, no, how do you know? Because Christ is living through you. So impregnated with his spirit that you're a prisoner to anything else. You're confined, oh my, to the gospel, confined to the word. And all the children that you can bring forth is that. Wow. The children you bring forth, those people that see your life. As Brother Brown said, your life is a greater sermon than what you can say. All the children that you bring forth is that. Because that's what they see. That's what they want. All the children that you can bring forth is that because you're a prisoner. You cannot commit adultery. You're already pregnant. Glory. He can't take a hold. The womb of life is closed to anything else. You're already his by predestination. That seed has come to life. No world can get in. How we'd like to stay on that for about an hour. I'm sure you understand. See, Christ and his alone, already finished. The seed was there. The seed was already. When was it put there? Before the foundations of the world. Has predestinated us unto the eternal life. And as soon as a life-giving flow, that seed laying there, now other seeds that just would come in, wouldn't take hold, just couldn't do it. Like, But when that seed come in, quickly it stopped up the womb. All the rest of the seed was drove out. See, like that. And you become a prisoner surrounded in Christ, Christ in you. His life bringing forth his evidence, his signs. Oh my, my, my. Look, bringing his signs of life as an evidence of his resurrection. Proving to the world that eternal life vindicates to the world that we're alive in him. Oh, think of it. Alive with God, our Redeemer, who created us for the very same purpose, the church, and his creative life in us. Now remember, Moses could say by the word, let there come flies, and flies came. And the same God that could make flies could make squirrels, as we saw in Brother Branham's ministry where they were spoken into existence. In 1 Corinthians 6:20, for you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God, notice, in your body. Glorify God, what's that? Endoxazo. In the life, Zoe, the doxa. The opinions, the values, and the judgment. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Glorify. Let the values, the opinions, and judgments of God express themselves throughout, from your body, from your spirit. Is your life worthy of the gospel? Brother Branham said, if the very life of God is in you and the very spirit that was in Christ is in you, how can the spirit live in Jesus Christ and write this book, this Bible, and then come back down and deny it? See, can't do it. It'll punctuate every word to be so. When you have a person that says, I got the Holy Ghost, and they deny what the Scripture says, they don't got the Holy Ghost. They got the unholy ghost. That's what they got. 1 Peter 4, because they got the anti-Holy Ghost, right? 1 Peter, look, the Antichrist is not, look, as Brother Branham said, the Antichrist is not some communist, some guy. Mm-hmm. He said, the Antichrist is so much like the real. Mm-hmm. Just one word off. One word off of Satan's kingdom. To disbelieve one word puts you into tribulation and takes you out of the book of life.
That's right.
That's what the Bible tells us. Add one word, you get the plagues. Now, 1 Peter 4:11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do so as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified, endoxazo, through Jesus Christ. That the values, opinions, and the judgment of God are God's. In other words, what you preach, what you say when you talk to one another, may it be God's words. May it be like the oracles of God. That's why the Bible says we lift up one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual singing. In John 14:13, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Notice verse 13 is the answer to verse 12. That I will do. In verse 12 he says, he that believeth on me, whoever believes in me, the works that I do shall he do also. Even greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And whatsoever you ask in my name, I will do it. Jesus, Brother Brown said, Jesus couldn't heal. He couldn't save. He couldn't do anything. He said the Son can do nothing except what he sees the Father do. When he saw the vision, he stepped into the vision and he acted out the vision. And that became God reflecting himself through a man, through his Son Jesus. Hallelujah. Matthew 5:16, he says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, how do we do that? Well, I'd like to read a story that a friend of mine, Brother Daniel Frango, sent me the other day. It goes like this. A few years ago, a group of salesmen went to a regional sales conference in Chicago, and they had assured their wives that they would be home in plenty of time for Friday night's dinner. In their rush to catch the plane home, and with tickets and briefcases, one of the salesmen inadvertently kicked over a table that held a display of apples. And apples flew everywhere. Without stopping or looking back, they all managed to reach the plane in time for their nearly missed boarding. All but one. He paused. He took a deep breath. He got in touch with his feelings and experienced a twinge of compassion for the girl whose apple stand had been overturned. He told his buddies to go on without him. He waved them goodbye, told one of them to call his wife when they arrived at home, and explained to his wife that he'd be taking the next flight out. Then he returned to the terminal where the apples were all over the terminal floor. He was glad that he did. The 16-year-old girl was totally blind. She was softly crying, tears running down her cheeks in frustration, and at the same time helplessly groping for her spilled produce as the crowd swirled about her, no one stopping and no one to care for her plight. The salesman knelt on the floor with her, gathered up the apples, put them back on the table, and he helped organize her display. And as he did this, he noticed that many of them had become battered and bruised. These he set aside in another basket. When he had finished, he pulled out of his wallet and said to the girl, he said, "Here, please take this $50 for the damage that we did." "Are you okay?" She nodded, and she nodded through her tears. He continued on with, "I hope we didn't spoil your day too badly." As the salesman started to walk away, the bewildered blind girl called out to him, "Mister," and he paused and turned to look back into those blind eyes. She continued, "Are you Jesus?" He stopped in the mid-stride and he wondered. He gently went back and he said, "No, I'm nothing like Jesus. He is good, he's kind, he's caring, he's loving, and would never have bumped into your display in the first place." The girl gently nodded. "I only asked because I prayed for Jesus to help me to gather the apples. He sent you to help me. Thank you for hearing, Jesus." Then slowly he made his way to catch the later flight with that question burning and bouncing about his soul. "Are you Jesus?" And that is what it's all about. It's what it all boils down to in this life that we live. Brother Branham taught us that eternal life is living for others. So as Brother Ram would say, where's it at? And that is my question to you this morning. If you claim to have the Holy Ghost and eternal life is living for others, where's it at? That's all. One simple question you can ask yourself. Where's it at? I'm not casting judgment on any of you, for we all know that if I point the finger out, there's three fingers pointing back at me. But my question is, where is it at? This eternal life that lives for others. Brother Branham said in his sermon, Forsaking All, he said, "If the spirit of a gangster was in me, I'd have guns on me. If the spirit of a painter was in me, I could paint the picture that a painter could do. If the spirit of a mechanic was in me, I could tell you what was wrong with your car, see? And if the spirit of Jesus Christ is in me, I'll do the works of Christ, because it's the life of Christ in you." See, manifested in who? Manifested in who? He asked the question twice. He forsaken his sonship and became sin and took our sins that he might take sinners and make them sons. He became me that I might become him. See? He became a sinner that I might become a son of God. Oh, it's striking what he did. See? He taken your place that you might take his. Your joint heirs with him in the kingdom. He became a sinner like you. Your sins placed upon him that he might take you and make you a fellow citizen of heaven, and set you with him in God's kingdom. There you are, put his spirit in you, and his spirit's in you. The works that he did, you'll do also. That's why the spirit of adoption, understanding the spirit of adoption is so important. That when you're born again, you receive the spirit of adoption, but you haven't received adoption yet. The adoption is somewhere out in the future. When you have so much the mind of your Father that he takes you up, he puts a new coat on you. He says, you now have your inheritance. Now listen, when the firstborn son in Israel, under Jewish custom, when he was adopted by his father, it was because he was so much about his father's business that the father was not afraid to say, your name is on the checkbook. You now have 50% of everything. And then when the father died, the rest of the children were given an inheritance. But we have a father who cannot die. So Jesus, having been adopted on Mount Transfiguration, went immediately to the cross so that he could die, so that his 50% of the kingdom could be rightly divided amongst all the brethren. That's why we become joint heirs with Christ when we also die to self and allow for the life of Christ to come back and live itself in us. Hallelujah. From "Let Your Light So Shine," Brother Branham said, only way that we can see Christ is when he reflects in each other. I see Christ in you. You see him in me. That's how we watch Christ. Didn't Paul say that I want to see nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified? He said, I didn't come preaching big swelling words of wisdom and all these great things. He said, I come in humbleness and simplicity. And my whole intention is to see Jesus Christ in you. Crucified in you. You crucified yourself. From Colossians 1:27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. That's your hope of glory. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you, richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. 2 Thessalonians 1:12, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and you in him, according to the grace of our God and our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 1:8, for if these things be in you, and they abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Philemon 1:6, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. And Romans 8:10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. Now, from the Queen of Sheba, Brother Bram said, always remember this, church. God's words are true. I believe the right mental attitude toward any divine promise of God will bring it to pass. And if you can look at it the right way, but remember, here's been my standard in life. I've tried to do this. The first thing I want to find out whether it's the will of God or not. And how do you know the will of God? It's in his word. Is it according to his word? Then I know when it's God's word, his will. The next thing is my objective to it and my motive for doing it. Then if it's God's will, it's the will of God, and my objective is right, my motive is right, I have faith that it'll be done. Because first, it's the will of God, and my objective is to glorify him. And my motive is to give him all the glory. See? So there's no selfish motives about it. Now, if you have selfish motives, it won't work. If your objective is to make money for yourself or something, why, you'll never succeed. And then try to do something outside of the will of the Lord, then it won't work to begin with. So there is a genuine faith, but you must come into the real channel of God to have that genuine faith. There's human faith, there's the faith of God. And you must have a godly faith to believe. Now then, to have godly faith, you must have the mind of Christ in you. Then that's how God projects to you visions, revelations, and all these things comes to the mind of Christ being in you. You get it? Let the mind that was in Christ be in you. Now from Jehovah Jireh, Brother Bram said, when you come to the total obedience, that's what Jesus did in the garden. He said, Father, my will is to take the cup from me, but nevertheless not my will, but thy will be done. Then you can have total possession. But until you totally obey, you got to completely surrender your own thoughts, your own will, your own mind, and let the mind of Christ operate in you. Now, do you think the mind of Christ in you would say the days of miracles is past? Do you think the mind of Christ in you would say the Bible is right in some places but not in others? The mind of Christ would sanction every word that Christ ever said. That's right. So if you don't use your own mind, just use his mind. That's how visions at nighttime. If I use my own mind, what could I do? I couldn't do nothing. But just yield myself to him, and then he uses my mind, my eyes, my mouth. He's my all. So just yield yourself. And from Philippians 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 1:6, even as a testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. That means established and proven. Romans 8:11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, that's a question mark, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies, make alive your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which began a good work in you, he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You see, people say, well, I love this message, but I just can't live it. Of course not. Nobody can live it. But he already did. There's one who did live it. Now, die to yourself and let him live it for you. That's all he's asking. Jesus died for you that you might live. Now, God wants you to die so that Jesus can live again in you. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 13:3. Since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you. Hebrews 13:21. Making you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Working in you. Who? The Holy Ghost. The holy life of God. Galatians 4:19. My little children, of whom I travail in birth until Christ be formed. Where? In you. from Show Us the Father, Brother Branham said, everything that you have need of in this earth's journey is in you when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All the healing you ever need, all the rejoicing you'll ever need, all the power that you'll ever need, everything that you got is in you when you got Christ in you. You know what it is? It's just a matter of dying to yourself. So you're not a hybrid person. You're a God child. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates? He's telling us here that you ought to know whether Christ is alive in you or not. Romans 8:9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And that led us to Christ is the mystery of God, number 94. Until Christ be formed in you, where we took our text from Romans 8:18-19. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory, that's the values, opinions, and judgment, which shall be revealed, visibly expressed or manifested in us. It's supposed to be in us before we're caught away in a rapture. God's not going to take a bunch of filthy people in the rapture. The Bible says he which is righteous still. But he that's filthy will be filthy still. Romans 8:19, for the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now, why is all of creation waiting? Why is all creation groaning and travailing? Waiting. Because you also are groaning and travailing. Because, when, like Paul said, when you ought to do right, you find yourself doing wicked. Why? Because you're listening to yourself. You haven't died to yourself. All of creation is waiting for you and I to die to self. Amen. That Christ might manifest himself in the sons of God. And how did Jesus manifest himself as the Son of God? The Bible says, although he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things that he suffered. Jesus was obedient to God in all things, even to the death of the cross. Now, we find our answer in Galatians 4:19, where the Apostle Paul said, my little children, of whom I travail in birth until Christ be formed in you. We have a promise from God that there's coming a time when Christ will literally be formed in an elect people and then be manifested openly for the world.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, from his sermon, Divine Healing, Brother Branham said, now you notice those people who sit and say, well, I accepted the Lord. You take their word for it. I would too. I can't judge. God does. But in 10 years from now, they've never progressed a bit, just staying right in the same old place. See? We grow daily. Each day our heart hungers. It keeps moving on. There's something growing inside of you. Amen. You get bigger, spread out, can take more. Paul told the Corinthian church, he said, you're maturing, growing. But when you ought to be teachers, you're still babes needing teaching. Is that right? When you ought to be teachers, something in there growing out, pushing out, making bigger, the Holy Spirit growing, the new birth. If a birth is born from the inside out, the child, it grows if it lives. If it doesn't, it remains. Is that right? Well, when a birth is on the inside, shouldn't it grow? The Christ is in your heart ought to be growing daily, getting bigger, more powerful, understanding things better, forgiving, walking on as God would, till Christ be formed in you, the hope of glory. So if you've been stagnant, you're dead. Why are you dead? Because you're dead to Christ, you're not dead to yourself. You need to die to yourself and let Christ live your life for you. Now look, when you're born again, you begin growing into the image of Christ, and if there's no growth, there's no life. Paul agonized over this childish condition in the church, and he prayed that Christ would be formed in them. And the word formed means to arrange the parts to bring into alignment. Isn't that something? In other words, we, each of us, is a part of the body of Christ. We are not aligned with Christ as we ought to be, he's saying. It's just like if one vertebrae is not aligned correctly, your entire body suffers and it groans in pain like all creation groans because the sons of God have not aligned themselves to the head of the body. Isn't that beautiful? Chiropractic, God, the great chiropractor. Philippians 2:4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, because he humbled himself, God hath highly exalted him, and given him a name that is above every name. Notice his thoughts were not for himself, but for his brethren. And he humbled himself. And there is a people who are ordained to listen and who will be humble themselves. And there's no way the rapture will come until this condition is met. Because the scripture tells us that that if we humble ourselves, God will lift you up in due season. There's your rapture right there. Now, John said the same thing in 1 John 3, 1-3. Now you are sons, but it doesn't yet appear what you ought to be. But there's coming a time when he shall appear at his appearing. And at the time of this appearing, you will be like him, for you shall see him as he truly is. And seeing him as he truly is, you will begin to recognize who you truly are. Remember, Brother Brown told us a story about the African slave down in Carolina someplace, in the south. And this African slave, he was always singing. He was, he just lived so much different from the other slaves. And so the guy said, "Well, I want to buy that one." He said, "He's not for sale." He said, "Well, why is he so different? You feed him better?" "No, don't feed him better." "Well, why is he so different?" "Because he knows that back home he's the son of a king. He's the son of a king. And if you knew you're the son of a king, you'd conduct yourself like the son of a king." Amen. Now that's why Paul also said, "When I was a child, I spake as a child, and thought as a child, because I thought as a child. But when I become a man, I put away childish thinking." And we know that which is perfect is come, and that which is perfect is a revealed word, and we have by God's grace a perfect revealed word for us in this hour, because God himself has come down with a shout in a message. God has vindicated that prophet, and that prophet brought us back to what Paul taught. The Apostle Paul said in Galatians 4:19, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth until Christ be formed in you." Now, to understand what this means, we must read the entire. We don't need to read the entire book of Revelation. Galatians, but let's just read the fourth chapter. Notice Paul has been teaching them how that Christ is to live out his life in each of us, and as we grow in Christ, his own life is forming in us. Galatians 4, he talks about adoption. Now, the Apostle Paul says in Romans 12:3, "For I say through the grace given unto me that to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." Now, to think soberly means that you have got to have a right mind to do so. The sober man, he can't even walk a straight line. But the sober man, I mean the man that's not sober, the drunk, he cannot walk a straight line. He doesn't think straight thoughts. His mind is kind of in a fuzz. But the man that's sober, his mind is crisp. He can answer the questions right when they're asked. He doesn't stumble around. When he walks, he doesn't stumble around. You see, Paul wants us to think soberly. Soberly meaning this. When God deals with you and gives you this special revelation, this special relationship with him, you're not supposed to get all puffed up in your head. Not supposed to get look at me. It's look at him. Look what he did for me. What Paul is telling us here is that we should not allow ourselves to get puffed up by revelation or the measure of faith that has been revealed to us. For after all, it is not of our own efforts or our own study that gives us our measure of faith. We didn't think it first. God sent to us a vindicated prophet. That prophet brought us back to this word. Word upon word, line upon line. It's God's doing. It's by God's grace that he has revealed himself to us. In closing, in examining scripture, humility, we find that true scriptural humility is not so much a mannerism, nor is it an action, but rather true scriptural humility is a condition of the mind. For it is knowing your place in the gospel or knowing your position in Christ. In Colossians 3:12, Paul says, "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, of kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and longsuffering." From his sermon, "Sirs, We Would See Jesus," Brother Branham said, "Humble yourselves and you'll be exalted. Exalt yourselves and you'll be humbled." That's right. See, God knows how to do it. So you have to remember, humble yourself before God. Don't try to think your own thoughts. Think his thoughts. So how do you humble yourself before God? Think his thoughts. See? 2 Corinthians 10:5, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." But why is it that when God reveals a portion of himself to men, they seem to get exalted and puffed up? Why is it that men are always vying for position? From the angel of the covenant, Brother Branham said, "Don't expect to know God by education or theology. You know God by being born again, a new birth. The Holy Spirit wrote the Word of God, and he so entangled it in there, he said, he hid it from the eyes of the wise and prudent and will reveal it to babes such as will learn. So if you want to know anything, get to be a baby. Don't be too smart. The way up is down. He that humbles himself shall be exalted. He that exalts himself shall be brought to abase. Therefore, humility is knowing your place in the Word, to know your place in God's plan, and becoming obedient to God's divine will and his divine truth. Now, Brother Branham said from his message, be not afraid. He said, some people think humility is something that ought to wear a skirt. In other words, a sissy. No, you misunderstand that. Jesus, the humblest man that ever lived, he could plait ropes together and look on them with anger and run them out of the temple. Yes, sir, certainly. And the Pharisees in the Sanhedrin court, the church, questioned him. What about all the rest of these? And he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son does nothing in himself, but what he sees the Father doing, that the Son doeth likewise. That's compassion. Compassion is to follow the will of God, not human sympathy, but compassion. Oh, it's two different words altogether, sympathy and compassion. See, if it wasn't, Jesus sure made a rude mistake when he did that.
That's right.
In Philippians 2 and 3, Paul says, let nothing be done through strife. Then why do people strive with each other? Why do people, want to just have it out? He says, let nothing be done through strife. That's Holy Ghost speaking. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. In other words, God have it my way. But in all lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves. And the word lowliness in the same Greek is the same Greek word for humble. Matthew 23 and 12. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Then you might ask, to what degree would we humble ourselves? Well, Jesus said in Matthew 18:4, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So you wives, next time you tell your husbands to grow up, just remember, he's trying to be more like this humble child. There's your excuse, brothers. All right. In James 4 and 6 we read, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. And to be humble, you're not born that way. Paul said in Philippians 2 and 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Look, Jesus Christ, having spent a, not eternity, but from the time that God brought forth the Son, because the Bible says he was with him when he created the worlds and all that, says God created all things through Jesus Christ. He was with him in that pre-existence. Before he came in the flesh, like Brother Brown said, he didn't bypass his theophany. He knew who he was when he came to earth. But you and I bypassed our theophany. But the thing of it is, he humbled all of that. When he became in the flesh, he humbled everything, became completely, 100%, totally dependent upon God, his Father, totally dependent and obedient to the leading of the Holy Ghost, his Father. Now, That led us to Christ's mystery, number 100, completely, totally dead. And Colossians 3 and 1, we took for a text, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. That word appear means to manifest in your true identity. From waters of separation, Brother Bram said, you've got to absolutely accept the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only that, but you've got to die to yourself. You've got to die to every thought of the flesh so that you can receive the mind of Christ and walk from henceforth, not of your own mind, but of his mind, the mind of Christ in you. That's the only way that you can stay alive. That's the only way that I can stay alive. That's all I live by is by the Holy Spirit. And from Romans 8:11 says, but if the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, that means make alive, your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to self, to live after self. For if you live after self, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Then when we die to self, does that mean forever? That we are now dead men? No, because he said, because I live, you shall live also. In other words, this body now has a new life. His life. Christ's life. The expression now coming out of this body is his expression. In one sense, you're dead to yourself, but in another sense, you become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Didn't the Apostle Paul say, you are dead? But notice he went on to say, for your life is hid with Christ in God. And how can you then be in reality a dead man when you have a hidden life? It's impossible. And if you're hid with Christ, if I got a blanket here and I hide under the blanket, you see a form, right? But that's all you see is a form. But what you see is the blanket. That's the anointing. That's Christ. You're hid inside that anointing. You understand? Christ isn't, he didn't say in Jesus, the man, he said in Christ, the anointing. See? For your life is hid with the anointing in God. But since I have become one body by being baptized into one spirit, then I am one with Christ, am I not? Then I am what Christ is. As the life I am now living in this flesh, I am living by the life of Christ in me. Paul said, I am crucified. That's what I've done to the old man. I have killed it off. But Paul went on to say that although I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I'm living. Yet I'm alive, he says. But it's not me that's living. He said, but Christ is living in me. And as Brother Branham said, if he's living in me, then the works that he does, I will do. And that led us to Christ the mystery. You cannot think, number 102 actually, you cannot think your own thoughts and be right. And if our thoughts are established right, then what we do will be rightly wise. Because the Bible tells us that the righteous doeth righteously. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're so thankful for your word. We realize, Lord, there's so much here that we could have gone on for days talking about these things. But Father, we love you with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind. And we just ask you to help us, Father, in this daily crucifixion of self. Help us to die, Father, so that all that would see us would see only Jesus Christ and him crucified. This we ask in Jesus' precious name, that we might be conformed to the image of the firstborn Son, and that all of creation is groaning and waiting for this manifestation of your sons. This is what we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.